All right, everyone, we are back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing presented by PPV.com, an association with Uncrowned and Yahoo Sports. I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri. We're coming to you right after Derek Chisora and Deontay Wilder, the sloppiest fight in the history of sloppy fights. Wilder gets the split decision win. Guys are flying out of the ring, slipping, sliding. Punches landed. Unbelievable theatrics there in the UK. And we're going to break that fight down and some other stuff as well. Chris Algieri is here. He looks pissed.
You know what? I'm going to not be pissed. I'm just going to take it for what it is. I did not expect what I just watched. I did not expect to waste my afternoon, but I did. And I'm just going to go... What is it? I'm gonna be
Serenity now.
Serenity. I'm just gonna go. Okay.
Well, come on. What did you expect it to be?
Better than that. That was unwatchable slop. Neither guy tried to win. At one point in round eight, Wilder threw punches, and I was like, here we go. Here we go. The fight's over. And then he just stopped.
Round eight is going to go down in the history books as the craziest round. Both guys hit the canvas. Chisora flew out of the ring.
The guys tried to fight for 90 seconds of the entire 12 rounder. They tried to fight in the eighth round.
Chisora flies out of goes through the ropes multiple times. Went through the ropes in that eighth round, and his corner tries to help him back up, which is highly illegal. His corner ran into the ring earlier also, in the
was,
fight.
That was ruled a knockdown. Not a single punch landed.
And then what about when Wilder got called for a knockdown in the eighth round and he didn't get hit? He just like lost his balance. The referee was atrocious. Listen, we knew it was going to be a sloppy fight heading in. I guess you couldn't really foresee how sloppy it could get. Like either guy is like is completely, completely past it. Deontay Wilder gets the split decision win, all sorts of knockdowns and point deductions. He's probably going to fight on now, even though he shouldn't. His chopping, every round pretty much was the same. Chisora comes out with his head down, bowl in the China shop, comes forward, tries to cut off the ring, tries to bring the fight to Wilder. Wilder started taking a little bit of a step back and throwing like a chopping right. Like the right is still fast, but it's just, he can't set up his shots anymore, Wilder. I saw a little bit more out of Wilder than I had in recent years. He surprised me a little bit there, but he got the win.
Yeah.
You speak now. It's your turn to talk.
I don't have anything. So my mother used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. So I asked you before we got on here. I'm like, do we have to talk about this? Like, I don't want to talk about this fight.
It is our A block. Fans seem to have liked it. I mean, there's like, we knew what you were getting.
What would you like? No. I expected war. His name is War Chisora, and Deontay Wilder at least has a right hand. He threw it three times in the eighth round. That was it. And he was close to stopping Chisora when he did it. He could have knocked him out at any point. Like, he decided to throw. At one point, we saw, like, fire in him. Bang, bang, bang. Throws right hands. I'm like, oh, here we go. The fight's going to be over. He hurt him. He rocked him. Going to go for it. And then doesn't do that again. Didn't do it before. Didn't do it after. I watched two guys dance around each other tonight. This is like,
but this is, I don't know, man. This is something what I expected. I a lot of the stuff that happened in that ring, I kind of had a decent idea it was going to be that.
I thought these guys were at least going to be competitive. Like I'm talking about like, I'm not talking about competitive fight. I'm talking about them being competitive people. I want to beat you. Like if I was going to box someone even at my age now, these guys are my age, they're 40, 42, I'm still going to try and fucking win. Like, I don't think any of these guys didn't try to win.
They got balls though, man. They definitely showed balls in there. Like, it went to distance, did not think it was going to go the distance.
What do you mean balls? Dan,
talk. Come on, man. Please. They stones.
Why? Because they signed a contract, accepted a ring, and then didn't try to hurt each other? No. I'm not going to.
I don't think they could.
No.
I don't think they could. I don't think they could.
I disagree. I think You can go out on your shield. The fact that this went 12 rounds with these two guys is absurd. These
Chisora did have some moments with that overhand right.
Yes, he did. He landed it and the left hook. He rocked Wilder with left hook. I was actually impressed with Wilder taking some shots. He got his bell rung a few times and stayed in there, which I think was good because he obviously got the victory and is going to go on and fight some big fights. But no, I'm not going to applaud this. This is not good.
Man. Yeah, I mean it should have been 10 rounds. I don't know why they insisted on it.
And it should have been free.
That's out of our jurisdiction. It was a zone pay-per-view. I did spend $50 for that. I didn't watch much of the undercard. I just did a live stream on YouTube, which was fun. Yeah, Wilder did show a little bit of a chin there. Chisora showed toughness, grittiness, a chin as well, because Wilder did land some quick rights. So the uppercut, too. Wilder's throwing that uppercut. That uppercut was working. I will say Wilder he figured something out.
He has in a long time. Yeah. I will say that. But he could have done way more. I think if he had stepped on the gas at any point during this fight, he probably could have ended it. Because Chisora came in the heaviest he's ever come in any fight ever. Can't believe he made it 12 rounds. He looked super gassed. He just and I color me wrong. I expected an entirely different fight. I thought Chisora was gonna come with gas and be mean and be nasty. He showed none of that. He was retired. Chisora was retired already in this fight. And Deontay wasn't. Deontay wanted to actually win this fight. He still doesn't know how to pull the trigger the way that he needs to in order to get KOs, but he can hang on enough to win a fight, and he did. He won the fight hands down. I don't know how there was a split decision at all, but Chisora didn't. He showed up for a paycheck and to survive. I think if Chisora really went for it, we could have a real go. I didn't see.
Okay, here's the thing I'm gonna ask you: Do you think that Chisora could he had it in his physical body would allow him to go more than he showed today?
Yes.
You think so?
His last three fights he did. He showed that.
He could have fallen off a cliff in that time.
He just didn't show up to try and do that. Maybe, listen, you never know. I've been in fights. I got hit with some shots and before from guys early on. I was like, okay, this is going to be that kind of night. And maybe he got hit with something early on because, Wilder is a brilliant puncher with both hands. Guys forget his jab is actually really hard, too. Maybe got hit with something early on. He was like, yeah, all right. Maybe I can just, finesse this and try not to get hit with anything big. But also, he got hit with big shots, too, and he took it. So, I don't know, man. That was not the Chisora I expected. That was not war Chisora. There was no war from that side of the ring. There was no war from either guy. There was no war at all.
It was almost like they couldn't believe that they were in the second half of the fight. The eighth round is going to go. I got to rewatch that eighth round because it was batshit crazy. I mean, there was that one point where after Chisora looked like he was completely done and out of it, and Wilder blew a kiss to him. You're not a wrestling guy. I don't think you remember WrestleMania where Shawn Michaels was wrestling Ric Flair and he mouthed to him, "I love you," and then nailed him with the super kick. Like, I was waiting for that to happen. I was waiting for that one last punch. Wilder detonates one last bomb. Lands on the chin of Chisora. He's out cold. It would have been a poetic ending. Instead, it didn't end because Wilder couldn't throw the punches anymore in the end of that eighth round. And then they were completely shot from there on out for the rest of the fight. The eighth round, it should have ended there somehow. But I honestly figured the physical toll.
That would have been a poetic ending, but we didn't get that.
No, because the ninth and tenth round, neither guy threw any punches. Like they completely blew their load in the eighth round. He went down, he flew out of the ring, Wilder slips, blows him a kiss. Entertainment. Joshua was loving it.
Yeah, because he's looking at food. He's looking at food.
I don't think that Wilder obviously will fight on. He should not go near Joshua. He should not go near Usyk. He should not go near anyone in the top 15, Wilder.
Nope. I want to see Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder next.
Why?
Because I don't want to watch that again. I don't want to watch what I just watched again. I want to watch him fight AJ. a fight that I've actually wanted to see. I have never wanted to see Deontay Wilder versus Chisora, ever. So he gets the win, he goes on, and the whole thing about this fight was being able to get past Chisora for big fights in the future. The big fights are AJ. The big fights are him or Usyk. Go right to those. I don't want to see anything else. There's nothing else. If you're not going to fight AJ and you're not going to fight Usyk, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see you fight a Chisora type fight again. I don't want to see that fight ever again. I want to see you fight AJ.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't. It's probably that's what's going to be brought up because I think that AJ's in that mode. It's either, you know, a Fury fight or something of that ilk. He was supposed to fight Rico Verhoeven and obviously gets to the car accident. Now Fury's fighting him. Wilder is a name at this point, and he did look somewhat good.
Who pushed Rico to? He was going to fight AJ. That fight doesn't happen because of AJ's personal issues, and then gets Usyk. Who is pushing Rico so hard that he can miss an opportunity and then go into even a bigger opportunity? It's a way bigger opportunity to go from AJ to
Jason Statham is pushing it.
Oh, that makes sense.
There you go. There's your answer. Jason Statham is pushing Turkey. Turkey has some weird obsession with this fight happening somehow. But back to the who should Wilder fight next. It's like, obviously, he should retire. I mean, but if he is to fight on, which he will.
Who should retire?
He will. Both these guys, Chisora and Wilder.
No shot Wilder retires.
I don't think they will. Should they? Yes. But do I think they will? No. Wilder will fight on. And yeah, Joshua fight, whatever at this point. I mean, I think Joshua just absolutely can box circles around him.
No, we don't.
Couldn't even hit Chisora.
We don't want to see circles. We want to see you knock someone's head off. This is the heavyweight division. I want to see a fight. I don't want to see what.
Okay, but don't you think Joshua would just? Don't you think Joshua would toy with Wilder at this point?
I don't think Joshua toys with anybody. I think he goes out there and tries to knock your goddamn block off. That's what I want to see. So, but also Wilder's still dangerous. In that eighth round, he threw four right hands where I was like, whoa, there he is. There he is. He could do it. He could still do it. He hits Joshua with one of those right hands. Who knows? I don't know.
I didn't see it.
It's a shootout. I want to see it.
I guess
I don't want to see what I just saw. Anthony Joshua would never fight a fight like that. He's going to fight.
Yes, he is. He's just got a lot more in the tank. Like Wilder's body language was awful. His right hand is a little quicker than
early.
Usual.
He didn't look bad early.
He's just lumbering back to the corner. He's super wide stand. He just fights like very deliberate now. No jab whatsoever to set up the shots.
Not as athletic as he used to be at all.
He did make a good adjustment in terms of, like I said, with when Chisora was just had his head down, throwing that overhand right and just coming forward. Wilder did just take a step back and just threw that quick chopping either uppercut or right hook. And it was finding a home. Like, Wilder didn't look as washed as I thought. Like, I still don't think he has it all there. But these guys very rarely walk away when they should. So if it's going to be AJ versus Wilder next, and then AJ versus Fury, if that's how Joshua wants to end his career, we're not going to be that upset with it. I just think Joshua has a lot more left in the tank than Wilder does at this moment.
Yes, but it doesn't matter because it's names. The reason this fight actually happened, you got two guys who are basically washed and they fought because there's names. And they performed probably the way they should have. You know, like I'm butthurt about it because I expected more. I thought it was going to be war. But they just did what they were supposed to do, honestly. They're both in their 50th pro fight. They're both getting a bag. They danced around each other for 12 rounds. The fact that fight went 12 rounds is mind-boggling to me.
I can't believe it.
And they would have been both better off if it went two. But it is what it is. I mean, here we are. I've already talked longer than I want to about that fight.
I'm watching the highlight right now. We're right there. In the eighth round, Chisora goes through the ropes. And his corner is helping him.
Yeah, that's not...
Like, I can't believe how bad the referee was.
Yeah,
he took a point away at one point. for Wilder. He also took a scored a knockdown for Wilder, for Chisora, I should say, when Wilder clearly slipped. That eighth round was kind of crazy. I'm watching it back right now on Twitter. Like, Wilder did look pretty explosive there. Yeah, Chisora looked completely shot.
Those chopping right hands, like, he actually looked mean. Like, it was one of the, I watched it and I was like, oh, there he is. And then, like, he didn't do that for the next four rounds. And I was like, that's still in you, dude. We haven't seen that in, how many rounds has he boxed since Tyson Fury? One with Helenius, then 12 with Parker.
I wonder how long that to Parker went.
Five then, with Jile Zhang.
Yep,
we have not seen any fire in him since
Tyson. He definitely had fire in him.
Fire. Yeah. That version of Wilder is dangerous. I want to see that guy fight Anthony Joshua. That little point in round eight, I want to see that guy fight Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, if you could put that together. I'm not opposed to it. Like, I don't think Joshua's at the championship level now, even though he's now training hardcore with Usyk, and he says his goals have changed. He wants to become undisputed again.
Usyk. That's a marketing ploy. He's not training with Usyk. Usyk has his own fight to train for. He's not training with.
They're training. Are they training? Or they're not? What are they doing in those videos?
They did a couple days together. That's what I heard. I heard they trained like 3 or 4 days. It wasn't like they're not doing training camp.
They're not doing 8 weeks together. But I think that Usyk is rubbing off on Joshua and telling him you can go for undisputed now, which I don't think Joshua should even attempt to do in order to want to see it. I want to see Joshua fight Fury, and I want to see Joshua fight potentially Wilder.
Yes. Yes, I agree. But I don't think training with Usyk has anything to do with that. I think psychologically it's good, because we've seen Usyk talk to Danny Dubois if they fought, and he was like, literally, like, he was like, buddy, like, you're good. Like, you can come back. And he did. He had a really good run after that. So psychologically, maybe Usyk talking to Joshua,
yes, that's what I mean,
spending some time with him can have an adjustment. And then, because Joshua, it's never been the physicality. It's always been the psychology, because he's so physically gifted. He's so good. He has the amateur pedigree. It's not as long as you would like, but he's still a gold medalist. Doesn't matter. And I think a lot of it for Joshua is just understanding how good he is, so he can go out there and do what he does. And Usyk is the kind of guy that could, you know, bump you up in terms of be like, hey, man, you are that guy. He gave him his toughest fights. I mean, Usyk, those fights with Usyk and AJ were close and tough. And only Usyk could tell AJ how close they were. So I think that's really important. But otherwise, I mean, yeah, I think AJ still has a lot left to go. I'm curious to see what else he can do. I still want to see him in Wilder. I still want to see him in Tyson. I mean, that fight needs to happen.
That's first and foremost. Like, should he go for the Agit Kabayel, or should he go for Wardley? If Wardley beats Dubois, that's what came out of these sessions with Usyk. I thought it was cool as hell to watch them train together and hang out and all everything. Even though you said it was like a setup thing, I thought it was cool as hell. And I think that Joshua's looking for something right now, some guidance or some anything. And Usyk is now a friend, and I think that's awesome. But what came out of that was, Joshua has a lot more left of him, and he wants to go for undisputed. Every fighter wants to go for the biggest goals. Obviously, that's why you get in it. No one gets in at this point to say, oh, I want to fight grudge matches now. But I, as a fan, and I think we could both agree that the best fights for Joshua right now are Fury first, and then potentially a Wilder fight if people want to see that. I'm reading the comments from my post that I put up. Both should retire. Max says, one of the worst fights I've ever seen. And to think it was a pay-per-view as well. Max, as a boxing fan, that was painful. These are just names. Thomas Spencer says, Dan, your disrespect for these fighters is ridiculous. They fought, entertained boxing fans. How about you fight and show everybody how it's done?
I have fought. I'm telling you, that fight was awful. How about that?
I love when people say you should, like, just because I never fought before doesn't mean I can talk about it. Old school bar fight. Why is everyone criticizing this fight? It was super entertaining, says Dub Bubby. Stop focusing on the flaws. Dan Canobie versus Deontay Wilder. Load Nuts says Joshua Wilder 100% is happening. These nuts. It was a sloppy affair. that we had to see play out. And it was like a train wreck.
I expected slop. It wasn't actually that sloppy. It was just uneventful. It just wasn't what I expected. Listen, dude, if your name is War Chisora and you come in on a tank, you better come and fight. We didn't get any of that.
That's just all marketing at this point. It was all...
Slop I wasn't okay with. If you went out there and just, like, bombs away and through, honestly...
A couple times I did that. But I just couldn't sustain it.
So little of the fight
was spent that way. Because I don't think they could physically sustain it.
Yeah, well, he came in the heaviest he's ever been his entire career. Do you know that?
Yeah. And Wilder was pretty heavy too, 228.
He's been heavier, but he came in. He still was very fit, obviously. But he just looked exhausted. He looked gassed the entire time. He looked gassed the entire fight. I don't know how you look gassed for 12 rounds, but
crazy heavyweight stuff. Made me want to watch like a good heavyweight fight now. You know what I mean? Like when you watch a fight like that, you want to cleanse the palate.
Any Evander Holyfield heavyweight fight.
I might go put on the Top Rank Tubi channel. I think they have a George Foreman marathon on right now. Deontay Wilder wins. We'll see what he does next. I'd be shocked if he retires. He'll definitely fight on.
No chance he retires. I'm actually happy he won because I don't want to see Chisora anymore. He had a great career, 50 fights.
Yeah, I'm done with Chisora. I never really was a huge fan of Chisora's style, but this is it. He's completely done.
I liked him because he was a mugger. He was mean and he was nasty, but like he doesn't have that anymore, obviously. So like, thank you for your service to the boxing world. You've been fantastic. You have a great career. You're a superstar in the UK. You fought your ass off. You fought everybody. I pay super homage to a guy like Derek Chisora, who has literally fought everyone. There's nothing you can say bad about a guy like that. But if you want to go off into the sunset, that is your take. God bless you. Good. I don't think you need to be in these big fights anymore. So, but winning this fight for Deontay Wilder, there's a lot of potential for him moving forward. I don't care. I don't dislike that fight, but Usyk has to fight Agay Kabayel first. If he's already picking, he's picking Rico Vanhoeven, a kickboxer who has no business being in a ring with the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. But I'm not mad because Usyk is picking the bag at the moment, as long as he comes right back and fights a tough guy. If he comes right back and fights a legitimate contender like Agay Kabayel, totally fine with that. If he comes back and he fights Deontay Wilder, I'm going to have a real problem.
All right, let's move on to Mayweather and Pacquiao. I can't believe we're talking about Mayweather-Pacquiao in the year 2026. Floyd Mayweather did an interview last week where he stated the fight will be an exhibition. This is after Netflix, Manny, and everyone involved in this promotion said it will be a real fight. Pacquiao's side is now threatening litigation, claiming breach of contract. Pacquiao even said that Mayweather got an advance on his payment and has been spending that. So therefore, it has to be a real fight. This will not be an exhibition, says Manny Pacquiao. Interesting to see that Mayweather doesn't have any power anymore.
This fight has to be a real fight, says Chris Algieri. How about that? This fight has to be a real fight. What are we doing? Netflix doesn't want an exhibition. They don't care about an exhibition. Vegas gambling doesn't care about an exhibition. They want a real fight. We need a winner and a loser. If this fight is to happen, which apparently, contractually, they've already signed to a real fight, which is the only way this could possibly be. Manny was interviewed. I saw a video of Manny being like, he was so stunned. He was like, no, we signed for a real fight. And he said, Floyd signed for a real fight. And he knows he's fighting a real fight. So, but thinking how smart Floyd is in terms of marketing, is this a ploy to get more attention? I thought that until the deadline came on Thursday where this had to be ironed out, and apparently it wasn't. So maybe Floyd is really pushing for this to not be a real fight. And maybe, like you said, he has no power anymore. I don't know. Does he? Does he not?
I don't think he can push people around like he did in the past. He can't dictate terms anymore. He can't tell Netflix this is going to be an exhibition. He can't just be the Floyd that we've known for basically the last 20 years. Because if it's true that he has these money issues, and clearly I think he does, if he's taking a fight with Manny Pacquiao and apparently accepted a real fight that can go against his pristine record, is that I think that he really needs the money.
And he took money already. Apparently.
He apparently took, I don't know, allegedly. I mean, it's what Pacquiao said, it's what Pacquiao's son allegedly took the money and is spending it.
What does that mean,
spending it? We know that he has a lot of legal issues. He's swiping, Chris. He's swiping the card.
Yeah, do you have access to his card? He's going to
buying Starbucks for the boys.
I mean,
yeah, this is what I'm reading, okay? This is what I'm seeing. I don't know. Is he taking the advances just looking at the money? I'm sure he's spending it because I've heard he has a lot of people to pay back.
I don't know.
The point being is that Floyd cannot pull the same shenanigans they did his whole career. He can't strong arm networks like he did at Showtime and HBO. He can't do that to Netflix if he wants this to be a real thing. Because Netflix can say, we could countersue you, we're taking it away, and this fight doesn't happen. Because I agree, no one wants to see an exhibition. I have very little interest in this fight to begin with. If it's not a real fight, I have zero interest in it. The whole intrigue of it is that Mayweather could potentially lose his O coming back at age 48, 49. And there's a lot of people out there that would love to see that because they just simply do not like Floyd Mayweather.
And the betting line would be gigantic on that. And that's what's going to... the driver of this fight, we're not expecting a great fight. The first fight wasn't good. We're not expecting a great fight. We're expecting betting lines. We're expecting massive payouts. We're expecting Vegas to say something and then us do another thing. That is what this entire thing is about. So... regardless of their legacy, which I don't really think their legacy is affected, because if Manny goes out there and beats Floyd, does it matter for Floyd's legacy?
No, but personally, it would be wild to see a one.
It would be.
It would be crazy to see a one 100% next to Floyd's name.
It would be wild to see that. I don't think it affects the legacy of the fighters. I really don't. I think they're both like...
I think it affects the event, like you
yes,
said.
Yes, it's the event. The
gambling aspect of right. it, but just makes it more... realistic. Like a lot, we've seen so many exhibitions over the last 5 years, and everyone's like, oh, it's an exhibition. Like,
I don't care about any exhibitions ever. I don't care about any exhibitions ever.
That's what I mean.
Ever.
Because they're exhibitions. They don't count. Like, boxing is a very serious sport where it should always count. So when you hear exhibition, it's a whole different vibe. The selling point of this, which I'm pretty sure Netflix wants, obviously, is to tell everyone that this is real. This is going on their record. They start advertising the fight, and they start marketing the fight that way. And that's definitely what Pacquiao wants. So it's interesting to see Mayweather just kind of try to pull his old shenanigans and kind of get checked here. Because if you read a lot of these, what happened with Showtime, what happened with Al Haymon, what happened with the lost money, is that he's clearly taking his fight because he needs the money.
Well, so now keep in mind, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson was originally an exhibition. Also on Netflix.
Yeah.
Is Netflix putting their thumb on the scale and being like, no. These got to be real fights. More and more, it seems like Netflix... I don't think
it affects the ratings that much.
It probably doesn't for Netflix in terms of the casuals who are tuning in. But it matters in terms of Vegas and the betting. And I think that's a big, big, big factor in this. And I think Netflix, just like DAZN, is taking notice about what boxing is and the market share that boxing represents. And they're taking this a lot more seriously. We're seeing these big networks taking boxing a lot more seriously. So I wouldn't think any different that Netflix is being like, no. You signed for a real fight. We're doing a real fight. The betting lines are important. You need to fucking fight. Let's fight.
Earlier in the week, I tweeted out, like, tongue in cheek, like, the Yankees versus Giants baseball game opening night was on Netflix, and it did 3 million viewers. And there was some talk out there like, oh, that's kind of low. Even though baseball is a very regional sport, there isn't a lot of national focus on the sport. It's more if you're from New York, you watch the Yankees. If you're from this California Bay Area, you watch the Giants. And you don't really – not as much gambling like football or if people will watch any football game because they gamble on it. But it did 3 million viewers, which is considered somewhat low. Lions-Vikings on Christmas Day did 27 million viewers on Netflix. Tyson Paul, 108 million. Canelo Crawford, 41 million. Paul Joshua, 33 million. So I said, therefore, boxing is bigger than the NFL and MLB. And I was clearly being sarcastic. They had people just, oh, it was hilarious, bro. The comments were like, Dan, you're out of your mind. This look at a load of this guy. He thinks that boxing is bigger than, I'm like, hey, the numbers are the numbers. But I, to our point here is that they know, like, Netflix, these, it's going to do a massive number. Like, I think it could surpass Canelo Crawford's 41 million, Mayweather and Pacquiao. They're bigger names.
No question. No question.
If it's a real fight.
No question. If this is a real fight, this is humongous, and it will do crazy numbers. And like I've been saying this, maybe I haven't said it on our show, but like leading up to the fight, the marketing, where we're going to get to relive the nostalgia of both of their careers. Manny Pacquiao's career is absolutely epic. Floyd Mayweather's career is absolutely epic. And we can relive those nostalgic years and fights. Which are, there's so many of them, until they come together. I mean, the pre-shows are going to be crazy. They've already fought. They've already got all of this content. I don't know. I'm excited for that. And I hope that this fight gets nailed down so we can start the marketing now. Let's start watching their old fights today until
Pacquiao, the Pacquiao promotion for Barrios. I mean, that was one of our biggest weeks we've had as on our platform in terms of views. And I was just talking about Pacquiao's career. What's your favorite fight? What was your hardest fight? You know, rate these fights. And now you can do that with Floyd, too. And with Netflix power behind it, we've seen how big Netflix can get behind fight promotions. I mean, that I was very up close at both of them. Tyson Paul, I was part of that. And Paul Joshua, I was part of that. Netflix doesn't mess around when it comes to marketing a fight. They have an army of staff out there. Some other news, Chris. We got Usyk Verhoeven undercard is set. What do you think of this undercard?
I like it.
We got Hamza Shiraz fighting for the vacant WBO 168 pound title against Alim Begic. The deal with this was that Shiraz did an interview with Akin Barak on the Ring Champs podcast and said that Shiraz wanted to fight Mbili. But Canelo said, no, I want Mbili. So therefore, Canelo's probably going to get him. And then he was going to fight Pacheco for this title as well. And then Pacheco pulled out. So now Shiraz is left to fight this unknown guy here for the vacant WBO title here. But that is one of the fights on the undercard. Jack Catterall versus Shakram Gassayev, who is Rolly's mandatory. He's been Rolly's mandatory at the WBA for years now. And Frank Sanchez versus Richard Torres, heavyweight fight that's been moved around all over the place, now lands in Egypt. Those are the top three fights on the undercard to support Usyk versus Verhoeven. What would you rate that?
Let me start from the bottom. First of all, I like the fights, but I'm going to talk politics. Start from the bottom. Richard Torres, Frank Sanchez, love. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10, A-plus matchup. Love it. Richard Torres, I am a big fan of. The kid is going for gold. I think this is a logical next step, but also a really tough step. It's a big jump up. Frank Sanchez can really fight. I know he's coming off some knee issues. Regardless, he's a very, very tough out. And I really like Richard Torres for going for the gusto here. No complaints about that fight. Next, we got... what was the next one? It was
Catterall,
Jack Catterall, Gassayev. Like the matchup. Really like the matchup. Catterall, really tough, scrappy guy. Fighting at welterweight now. Hasn't fought like world-class guys at welterweight. He had a really good win against Barboza at 140. Moves up to 147. He beat Ben's brother, who is not really a world-rated guy. But regardless, moves away, beats a guy with a name. Gets this opportunity. Gassayev, however you say it, has been the step-aside guy for so long. He's been the WBA number one contender for so, so long. And I had heard that he was trying to step in between Rolly and Haney to be that guy. He's like, I'm not stepping aside anymore. I got to fight Rolly. Rolly didn't fight for a year. I don't know why this fight didn't happen in the last year. Which aggravates me for Giasol.
Trying to get Pacquiao, trying to get Ben, trying to get Haney.
That's great. This poor kid has been sitting on the sideline this entire time, and he can fight.
Seen it so many times in boxing.
The guy can fight.
So many times.
The guy can really fight, and he's been around for a really long time. He fought one of my former opponents, Emmanuel Taylor, like way back in the day. Like, this guy's been around for a really long time. So he's been waiting for his title shot. He's undefeated. He's very talented. He can fight. So he finally gets his shot. He got it against Jack Catterall. Like, he's not a huge profile name. He's also a really tough guy you might not beat. And it's for some super title, which, what the hell does, what are these super titles, Dan? Like, they change, or super title, or normal, whatever. They change the rules all the time.
I believe the WBA super title is right below the main, like, Rowley has the main WBA title. So then they're super.
What is a main versus super? What are we talking about?
I know. This is a mess. This is why the ABC came in and told the WBA, you need to eliminate a lot of these titles. It's insane. Like, the WBA is the worst. By far the worst.
Anyway, so that fight, good fight. I like the fight. I like that GSL is getting a shot. And I like Catterall. So, like, Catterall gets his shot. I mean, does he deserve a world title shot at 147? Probably not. But he can fight. And he's worthy of it.
Well, even if it's a super.
I don't know what the hell that means. I'm not going to even
cover that. It's not technically a world title, but it kind of is.
Right, it kind of is. But, I mean, Rollies is the world champion at the same division, same organization. So I don't know how you call yourself. Yep. So when I was world champion, there was no other people in that weight class and that governing body that were the world champion. I was the world champion. I beat the world champion. So, like, these other titles, you're beating another guy. Yet there's a whole nother guy who has the title.
WBA, baby.
That's crazy. It's crazy to me.
Sanctioning fees, WBA, baby.
Anyway.
And then you got Hamza Shiraz, who wanted Shiraz
fighting
the bigger
for a world
names.
Title. And right. Fighting a guy who no one knows. If I don't know you, then do you know Bejic? No.
No. No. They apparently went down the list and got to him.
But okay, Shiraz, so my question is, Billy, how is Shiraz that high in the ranking?
You're asking me questions that I don't have the answers to, man. When it comes to the ranking system, does anyone know how these rankings work? Does anyone know why guys are ranked here? Like, Shiraz fighting is definitely one of the top guys at 160. I don't have a problem for him fighting for one of the vacant belts that Crawford has relinquished at all.
Agreed.
Do we want to see him fight in Billy? Yes.
Agreed, but Billy, clearly, but how does he fight a nondescript guy that no one knows?
Because as you said, in Billy was supposed to be in Billy. Canelo places a call. I want in Billy. So therefore, in Billy takes himself out of it. And they're going to make that fight. And then move to Pacheco. It's supposed to be Pacheco versus Shiraz. Pacheco declines. Declined it. This is all according to Hamza Shiraz's interview with Akin Burak on Ring Champs podcast. And then that fight blows out the window. Then they go down the list, and they find Alim Bejic. Step on up. You're fighting
so Bejic,
in front of the
Bejic
pyramids.
Bejic is number three?
I don't know what ranking Bejic is with the WBO,
this,
but he's,
this is my
he's
point.
Next
this,
in line.
This is my point. Like, first of all, how did Shiraz get to the point of being number two or number one contender in the weight class? Because he's had one fight.
By beating Edgar Berlanga.
Correct. So Berlanga was not highly ranked. You blow out Berlanga. Do you immediately go to number one?
I'm pulling up their rankings right now. Beating Berlanga should not get you to number one. I was kind of being sarcastic but that's is that Shiraz's last win?
Yes.
Yeah. Like
first,
you said, I have no
last
I think,
win, first
if you go
fight,
off the eye test.
Last win, first fight, S68. I like Shiraz. Insane. I think getting a world title fight, I have no problem with getting a world title fight. No problem. But how do you get this fight? Is my question.
Yeah, you're asking the million-dollar questions in boxing. Like, how do any of these, like, the ranking system is completely flawed. That's like one of the sticky points for Zuffa is like these belts are, some of these belts don't mean much. Because they are completely
no. It's who
nonsense.
You. It's who you know. That's
Shiraz is number two in the WBO at 168. Canelo is number one. Jacob Bank, who stopped Skull, is number three. Alim Bejic is number four.
So why enough?
I don't know why
Bank
doesn't get it. I don't know. Bank
how,
is three.
Okay, also how is Canelo number one?
You're asking rhetoric questions, right? Rhetorical questions.
Now I'm putting you.
I have the answer.
I'm putting you to the irons.
You're acting like I am part of the WBO. You're acting like I'm the one that made these rankings.
I'm putting you to the hot irons.
But at least they're names that we know. Like Shiraz is good. Like he definitely should be fighting for these titles. Canelo is washed, but he's Canelo. And Billy Canelo, I think, will be a fun fight. Shiraz versus Pacheco would have been great. Pacheco has been making very questionable decisions as of late, turning down all sorts of eliminators and title fights. So Alan Becik, a German guy. Here we go. Pulled up his box book right now. He's 29-0, 23 knockouts.
Good.
This is your chance, my friend.
Good numbers. I mean, we'll see, but
it's a good card, though. The Sanchez Torres fight. I'm really into that.
I'm shitting on this opportunity, but I really think I'm not knocking Shiraz. I think he should be fighting for a world title. I was just wondering how logistically he got.
Right, how does it come about?
Right. He's fighting for a world title. I think he should be fighting for a world title. I don't think he should be fighting
Alan Becik.
But your pronunciation is getting way better. Are you German? You have a little German in you?
I think I'm spending more time before these podcasts. I'm probably messing it up myself.
Oh, good point.
As
far as we know. But no, I'm not mad about Shiraz fighting for a world title at all.
Well, lastly, Keyshawn Davis looks like he's going to be fighting Nahir Albright, top ranked.
Really?
First card on the zone. They're targeting May 16th. This is a little bit of a shocker because Keyshawn, coming off of that win over Jermaine Ortiz, is looking for bigger names, calling out Haney, calling out everyone under the sun. And then they settle on Albright, who I'm happy for him. This is a rematch of their October 2023 fight, which is a majority decision win for Davis that got changed to a no decision after he's tested positive for marijuana. Albright went on to defeat Kelvin Davis back in June and then got jumped afterwards by the Davis brothers, which led to the spiral of Keyshawn Davis. So they will hammer home that storyline. A little shocked that this is who Davis is fighting. Don't love it, don't hate it. Top Rank's first card on DAZN. May 16th, they're shooting for.
You're being middle of the road. This is a stupid fight. Very, very stupid fight. It's completely unnecessary. I like the fact that Nahir Albright is getting a payday and getting another opportunity. But Keyshawn is way above this kind of fight. And top Rank is too, levels above. Who knows? Maybe Nahir has... Listen, I think I called the first fight. It wasn't very close. Nahir hurt him in the ninth round. And Keyshawn, you know, fought a cautious 10th round, but he won every round, every second before that. So I don't need to see this fight again. This is a completely unnecessary fight. Keyshawn is not at this stage, you know, to fight this guy. But again, Nahir, I like Nahir a lot. I'm glad
That's the only part that's the saving grace for me is that
gets another opportunity.
But I want to see Davis in bigger fights.
Yeah, no.
If these guys fought more than twice a year, then I would feel a different way about it.
But also, there's the opportunity for this to get really stupid and silly again because of the conflict they've had in the past. The brothers are going to be there.
That happens again, then. Oh, man.
They're targeting Virginia. Dan, that's my point. Why put this together again? Why put this in the same space so this could happen?
Asking for trouble.
Yes.
I do think it's unnecessary. Do like Albright getting the shot. Want to see Davis fight all the time. Want bigger names for Davis. Now, this is his May fight. So does that mean does he fight at the end of the year? Hopefully against another 140 or gets a title shot at 140. But yeah, kind of like a nothing type of fight. I'm surprised.
But also, Keyshawn is a guy who's calling out everyone, and I've watched people talk. They're like, dude, you haven't fought anybody. This is not going to help the chatter. You're not fighting.
Right. If you're just fighting like an ex-champ or fighting someone at 140, you can pick through the litter at 140. There's much better alternatives. No offense, than Nahir Albright.
This fight is a nothing burger. I hate that term, but it's what it is.
I'm shocked. I actually am shocked that Top Rank would and DAZN would agree to that. It's just being speculated. It was reported by Lance Pugmire, who always does a really good job. We'll see.
They're gonna hear our show, and maybe that fight doesn't happen.
we have that much of an influence on this sport. That is it. Hope everyone enjoys their holiday. We'll be back on Thursday as we get ready for Tyson Fury fight week. Conor Benn versus Regis Progre, who Eddie Hearn says Progre's injured and he's still going through with the fight. Eddie pouring some cold water on the fight. Chris has nothing there. He's got nothing. All right, everyone. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you on Thursday. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs.